Welcome to this week's episode of WDKN's Jesus Roundtable, where ministers gather around the Word and spend time discussing the most important person in all of human history. Pull up a chair, grab your Bible, and join us at the table.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Interfaith Roundtable here on WDKN and 101.5 The One FM. I am your host, Richie G., and we have two men with us today, and they are...
Hey, I'm Matthew Hyatt from Burns Church of Christ.
I'm Richard Rain with Eastern European Mission.
All right, and first, Richard, you had an announcement?
Yes, I would love to let everyone know that Eastern European Mission, if you're not familiar with us, we give free Bibles away behind the old Iron Curtain, the communist bloc countries there, and anyone there is that asks for a Bible, we provide it. And last year we passed out close to 500,000 Bibles and study materials. We're holding a special event March 7th at LP Field. It's a free event, and for those that would love to come and learn what God is doing in Eastern Europe, we're going to be introducing a new documentary film on what's happening specifically in Romania. We'd love to have people come. If you're interested, they can actually go to our website, which is eem.org/events, and they can actually register to come. And we'd love to have anyone that's interested in hearing what God's doing in Eastern Europe. It is pretty amazing things that are going on there. The people there are hungry for God's word and very appreciative when we provide those for them.
That's great. That's a great cause, and hopefully everyone will get out and see what you're doing there.
Love to have anyone come that would like to.
Awesome.
And, you know, we have our website now, JesusRoundtable.com. And one of the things, I know that the people who are listening live don't have that in front of them. If you're listening on the podcast, I know you do. But if you're listening live, you need to know how to get in touch with us. Richard, how does somebody get in touch with you?
They can contact me at rrihn@eem.org.
And you can reach me at rgirdelli@aol.com.
And you can reach me at matthew@burnschurchofchrist.org, all spelled out. So just wanted to share that with you in case you want to get in touch with us.
And we have a lot of things going on. We're going to have a website, as Matthew just said, Facebook page. So hopefully that's up and running by the time we get to this show. And you can go there and you can see the lesson. During the week, you can listen to the podcast, and you can see the lesson plan and do it for the upcoming week, and then listen to us live as well. So there'll be a lot of information. We really would love to have your feedback on the website. All right, we're doing our 52-week study of Jesus through the Gospels, We Would See Jesus is the name of the study, and we've gone through an introduction and three of the Gospels. But today, we are in the Gospel of John. And as we get into this, let's just have a little refresher about John.
Well, John's a little bit different than the other three Gospels. You remember, we call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the Synoptic Gospels because they kind of have the same point of view. John is the most different. I guess first question would be, who wrote John? Any guesses? Anybody? Any takers?
I'm going to bet John.
Okay. It is, we believe, John. That's the traditional answer, and I think it's the right answer. Now, there's not a verse in, you know, John 1:1 that says, hey, you know, I'm John, and this is who I am, like some of the letters. But that's what we believe. That's the same John, by the way, as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And if you've been a long time listener to the Interfaith Roundtable, you remember last year we wrapped up a study of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then, of course, Revelation, which we've just all agreed that we're all quitting if anyone else is to cover on the show. So, interesting guy.
Yeah.
What do we know about him?
Well, he was a fisherman, right? His brother was James, and had a volatile temper.
A little bit.
A little bit.
The sons of
thunder.
Thunder. Yeah, that's right.
A little bit quick on the trigger.
Maybe so.
Also referred to as the beloved.
Yes.
Disciple.
John seems to be kind of modest. He doesn't ever refer to himself by name in the Gospel of John. Several times he refers to the beloved disciple, and if you kind of triangulate with the other Gospels, you figure out who that is.
Yeah.
That's John. I think that's kind of fun. I like that about him.
Definitely. And there's some claims in there to be an eyewitness,
yes,
right, in different portions of John. So we know he was someone that was an eyewitness, knew the time and place of trials, was in the inner circle. If you go through the book of John and all the Gospels, John was one of the inner circle.
Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's amazing how out of the 12, there was that inner circle of special people he trusted. Not that he didn't trust the others, but there was something, you know, about those three. And John, so he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So if anyone's going to write a Gospel, John and Peter probably, as far as eyewitnesses, are as good as it gets.
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody gets real excited about the Gospel of Thomas. He's the guy who doesn't believe, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But we've got John, who's in the inner circle, and that's a really cool view.
It is.
You want to talk a little bit about what John's purpose was in writing?
Sure.
There's kind of a key verse.
Sure. The verses, if you go to John 21, 20 through 24, but 31, no, what is it? Excuse me, that wasn't right. 20... 31.
I think it's 2021. I think that's a typo.
Okay, 2021. I was wondering. Yeah. I'm like, uh-oh. All right. And it says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name."
So he says the purpose of this book is to bring belief.
Hmm.
So a lot of times I'm studying with somebody, you know, who's kind of familiar with the Jesus story, but not really truly a believer. I like John because his whole purpose... You know, Luke gave his purpose. If you remember our last show on Luke, he said, "I've tried to set out an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you might have certainty concerning that which you were taught." Luke was kind of confirming the story. John is kind of trying to foster belief, which leads to life. And I think that's pretty important.
Mm.
And you'll notice John is very different from those other three Gospels. I mean, dramatically different in a lot of places.
Yeah, there are a lot of differences, and that's a good place to go. What's the difference? It says here that 92% unique, right? There's 8 that's shared with the other Gospels, and there's 92% that's unique. That's a lot.
When we covered this at our church, I asked everybody in the room to make a list of 10 significant events in the life of Jesus, and you know, I gave them a few minutes, and if you're listening, I want you to think, what would you say if you were asked what were the 10 most significant events in the life of Jesus? And, you know, most people go, the crucifixion, check. The resurrection, check. His birth, check.
Wilderness
temptation.
Baptism.
Check. Baptism, check. And, you know, you start going through. And what I did was, after everybody came up with their top 10 list, I said, all right, now I picked on somebody in the front row. I said, Richard, you know, what's the first thing on your list? And, you know, maybe they said it was the birth of Jesus. And I said, if you've got the birth of Jesus on your list, I want you to cross it off. And, you know, half the room had that on their list. So what's the second thing on your list? And let's say you said the wilderness temptation. You got that on the list. Everyone who has it on your list, cross it off. And we went through the whole room until we had nothing left, and except for like 3 stories that somebody had picked. And, you know, if I ask somebody to tell you about the story of Jesus, just cold, they're going to give you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that John is 92% unique from the other three Gospels. I just cut out somebody. that John is so unique, that tells me it's on purpose.
Right.
It's intentional. He's writing. He knows what the other Gospels said. He's saying the things that the other Gospels don't say.
Right.
And why is he doing that? Well, he told you why in John 20:21, that you might believe.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, is it the next verse where he says that if we tried to write down all the things that Jesus did, the world couldn't contain the scrolls that would need, you know. I'm not telling you everything. I'm telling you what you need to know to believe.
Right. And also, in the lesson, it was written later. And I think that what you had in there was cool, that the reason he wrote it, or was written later, but it was for the next generation of believers.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool when you think about it, that the Lord had that in mind working through John, that, hey, you know, you guys are going to be gone at some point. They need something to strengthen them.
Yeah, you know, Matthew and Luke in particular talk a lot about the destruction of the temple. That's missing from John.
Mm.
Most people believe that's because the temple had already been destroyed, and that was no longer helpful information, you know. This is the gospel for the children of believers. And I think that makes it really pertinent for those of us in Dixon. I mean, we're the buckle of the Bible Belt, right?
Mm.
You know, there's churches on every corner, 3 churches on every corner and 2 Walgreens.
Right.
And, you know, you go to... You don't run into a lot of people here that don't know something about Jesus because their parents did, or their grandparents did.
Mm-hmm. It's cultural.
Yeah.
It's more cultural. I've noticed that. It's very difficult.
Well, you come from the Northeast, so...
Right. You know when someone's not a believer up north. You know, down here, it's cultural. Everybody is gone. Most people
have
some relationship to church.
Well, I mean, I remember at one point sitting with a young lady, and when she looked at me and said, this was another part of the country, And she looked at me and said, "Who's Pilate?"
Mm.
You know, and
you say he's the guy in the front of the airplane.
Yeah, but you know, it blew me away because I figured, you know, that's a very basic story. I mean, that's a very pertinent story in Scripture. But I mean, it seems so much a story that everyone would know, even a non-believer almost.
Right.
You know, that it was shocking to have a lady that was about 50 years old look at me and say, "Who's Pilate?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shows you that we're in a
post-Christian era. And, you know, for people like us who live in a place like this, I think John's really helpful because he kind of assumes, you know, the birth story.
Mm.
And while he does focus a lot on the crucifixion story, he doesn't tell us anywhere near the same things that you already know. So John's just really good kind of for, you know, if you grew up in the church and you kind of quit going to church, John is the gospel I ask you to read.
Mm.
Or you're trying to decide what you believe, John's where I send you.
Mm, absolutely. That's
so basically you're saying it's your favorite sequel.
Yeah, John's my favorite gospel. I guess I should let the cat. I should like Matthew. You'd think I would, but, you know, John's just, he's my favorite. You know, his words are simple. He talks about light and dark and love and hate and life and truth.
Mm.
And, you know, those simple words that have such richness and depth.
Mm.
You know, Matthew quotes the Old Testament so often, you almost forget you're not reading the Old Testament.
Right.
You know, Luke has so many historical details. Sometimes I get lost in Tiberias and the Decapolis and what city, you know. You know, and Mark's just so fast. But John has a leisurely pace, and he records conversations with Jesus.
Mm.
You know, Matthew generally records speeches of Jesus. Mark doesn't really say much about what Jesus says. He just kind of, you know, all right, there you go.
Mm.
Luke sometimes gets some of the arguments, but John really gets the conversations you don't get. The woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, Jesus and Pilate. That's one of the things that makes his gospel.
Yeah, there's some really personal cool. and more personal interactions.
Yeah.
Better explained in detail than the other gospels. And also, you know, and this will be part of our next lesson. Also, his point is to make that Jesus is God as well, right?
Okay.
That we believe that because the I ams, there's so many things in there. That's part of it as well to show each gospel has a certain purpose. And this one is to show that he is the Son of God. He is deity and he's equal as well. And so there's some things that are unique as we go through it, right? Light and dark. Want to go through some of these?
Yeah, go for it.
There's light and dark, the wedding at Cana.
Yeah, where Jesus turns water into wine.
Yeah.
That's been annoying all of us Good Church of Christ and Baptist people. And we wished he'd turn wine into water. That would have been an okay miracle.
Right, yeah, exactly.
He turns water into wine.
It was grape juice, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was the good fruit of the wine.
That's cute.
Nicodemus conversation.
Yeah.
A huge, we all call ourselves born-again Christians amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we would never even have that terminology. If not for John 3.
Yeah, Jesus and Nicodemus. That's the only place that comes up.
Mm-hmm. You have the bread of life discourse. And we'll talk about that as we get into
the seven I am sayings that all come from John.
Yeah, amazing how he does that. Adulterous woman, man born blind, Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, that's a huge story, and it's in none of the other Gospels. We wouldn't have it.
And John gives us everybody's favorite memory verse. If you want to memorize Scripture, it's John 11:35. Jesus wept.
I got that one down.
I've often thought in terms of Lazarus, thinking, you know, the man was in heaven. Leave him.
Yeah. That's how he felt.
If I'm there, don't pull me back.
That's exactly how he felt, I'm sure.
What a strange story. And we'll get to that as we go through. Yeah. But just to be dead, then undead, and then he has to die again. You think it's like, I've been through this before next time.
Exactly. Twice.
Born to be a yo-yo.
Come on, let me stay dead.
Exactly. You know, and how huge was Lazarus? I don't know if it's in Scripture or I just read it somewhere, but he was a target after that point because he was someone that could go around and say, I was dead.
Yeah.
You know, he was living proof.
He was a target, right?
He was a target.
John 11.
Yeah.
And that story in John is the turning point.
Right.
That's the hinge of the whole book.
Yeah.
Remember, the disciples didn't want him to go to Bethany where Lazarus was because that's where they wanted to kill him.
Right.
And Thomas, who we always pick on for being weak faith Thomas says, all right, Lord, we'll go with you and we'll die with you. He says, I'll go.
Yeah.
When he gets there, he raises Lazarus. Everybody's excited, but man, they start wanting to kill Lazarus. And kill him again? I mean, you know, I almost sort of imagined, wouldn't it have been funny if they had killed him and Jesus brought him back?
I'll just keep doing it. I can do this as many times as you can, Romans.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah. That's a huge, I mean, that's a important story at funerals. And it's out of the book of John.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
Right there in John 11.
Just amazing. Vine and branches.
Yeah.
Another huge passage of scripture. Preparing a place, the Holy Spirit, 14 to 16.
Yeah, the let not your heart be troubled, trust in God, trust also in
yeah.
me. Probably one of the most quoted passages.
Definitely.
Jesus, a favorite funeral passage, if nothing else.
And you know, there's certain groups that put more emphasis on the Gospels, right?
Yeah.
Where that's their emphasis. But it's so clear, Jesus says, I have many things to say to you,
yeah.
but you can't bear them. But the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and goes... So it's an important verse in the sense the rest of the scripture is just as important.
Yeah.
It's inspired. You know, we have Jesus' words, don't get me wrong, that's huge, but Jesus says there's more. And if we didn't have that passage saying that, you know, to me that's just a really strong statement for the rest of scripture.
It's
equal.
That's really
you know, they're the word, Jesus spoke the words of the Father and the Holy Spirit is giving the words of the Father.
Yeah.
It's equal. Some people try to argue with you. It's all the same. You know, it's God's word. It's not less.
I love the red letter words. There is something special.
Sure.
Because of,
it's Jesus.
But scripture is scripture.
Right.
And, you know.
And those verses are huge.
Yeah.
Pointing in that direction.
That's really important.
And high priestly prayer, huge.
Oh, man. John 17. You know, when most people think about the Lord's Prayer, they think about, you know, the Pater Noster. You know, our Father,
right.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You know, thy kingdom. But in John 17, Jesus prays for a whole chapter.
Yeah.
And he prays for you and for me. That's really cool.
That's the true, our prayer.
Yeah.
Right? That should be the prayer. Mary at the foot of the cross, doubting Thomas.
Poor guy.
Yeah. He gets a bad rap, like you said earlier on. He's the only one with guts out of all of them, and he gets a bad rap. And the I am sayings, the deity, and washing the disciples' feet, another one. Nowhere, anywhere else. So very unique. And just as Matthew said, a great, if you're a new believer or you're just searching for something and you don't know where to go in the Bible to read something that'll help you, definitely go to the Gospel of John. It's the best book to start.
Out of curiosity, Matthew, do you remember what were maybe the one or two things that were listed by the group in Burns when you went through this exercise that no one else had?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I should have prepped you for it.
No, just vaguely, they were very specific stories that didn't quite fit into an umbrella.
Yeah.
Like, I had some people who tried to answer that question with, he healed people. Okay, you got to be a little bit more specific. So it would have been like the time where Jesus healed a guy's, the blind guy that Jesus healed in two steps. You remember one guy he healed, and then he says, I see people walking around, they look like trees.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Sure.
And then Jesus finished the healing.
Yeah.
Like somebody brought up one just real weird particular. The things that were unique were the real weird particular.
Yeah.
The woman who touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said power came out. That was one that.
Sure. Well, the way to do that in class from now on, if that ever comes up, think of John.
Yeah.
And you're guaranteed to hit some that. Yeah, other people aren't going to come up with.
You're right. That's true.
That's the way to do it. All right. That was a great first half. We're going to take a short commercial break and come back for the second half of the Interfaith Roundtable here on your hometown station. It's Gospel Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
While we're away on a quick message break, could you help us out? If you're listening to this show on iTunes, take just a minute and leave us a review. It'll only take a second, and it's the best way to get word out about the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for helping. Now back to this week's episode of the Interfaith Roundtable.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of the Interfaith Roundtable. We are in the Gospel of John. I'm Richie G., your host. Just to remind you, we have
Matthew
Hyatt.
Richard Green.
Here with us this morning, and we're just having some fun going through the Gospel of John. And we just went through what are some of the things that are unique, and now here are a few of the things that are missing. It says no genealogy, but no earthly genealogy, right, would be the best way to put
it. Certainly, yeah.
So that's strange. There's no tie to anybody.
Matthew and Luke have all the begots. John just says, and here's Johnny. here's Jesus.
Yeah, and it goes along with the rest of the theme, that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
So that's, we all know he's human.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to show you that he's more than that.
Yeah.
And in many ways. No birth or childhood.
Yeah, you don't have the temple story, you don't have the angels, you don't have the manger.
Yeah, no temptation story.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I never even realized that.
Yeah. No fasting.
Yeah. No coming of the Son of Man.
Yeah, he doesn't really talk about the the second coming to speak of.
Yeah, not in any
doesn't
doubt.
Talk about the destruction of the temple. Doesn't really doesn't do much end times at all.
Yeah,
John's not where I guess he knew he was going to write Revelation.
Yeah, he had plenty of time.
I was going to say, you know, if you know you're going to get to finish off the book,
I'll save all this that stuff for my next book.
And depending, there's different opinion on this, of course, but a lot of people think that John was written pretty late in John's life.
Yeah,
you know, it's possible that he actually wrote Revelation right before it or right after it. Just something to think about.
And that's we didn't mention that. What is your view of the date between 80 and 95?
Yeah,
so, I mean that's
pretty
basically,
close to 90.
Yeah, in that area.
That's what I think.
And Revelation too.
Yeah.
So there's no way to know which one was.
I could really kind of see him sitting on the island of Patmos, just cranking out all his letters and his gospels.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's get this finished up. Right. It's getting to the end. Let me put down everything I know here.
The language is so similar between the letters and the epistles, the epistles and the gospel.
Definitely.
There's a lot of overlap in Revelation. It's kind of hard to tell if the vocabulary is the same because he's describing such otherworldly stuff. It's, you know.
Yeah. No, definitely. Not the same kind of parables. Not the Matthew 13 parables.
Yeah, you don't get to the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who sows a seed.
Yeah.
You get kind of a different type of parable in John.
Right. No demons.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten that.
Isn't that strange? It's hard to believe. How do you have a gospel without casting out any demons, right? But,
now he gets called a demon, demon-possessed person several times, which is kind of interesting.
But no demons. No ascension in John. And no tax collectors, lepers, or Sadducees.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
there's a lot missing.
John kind of has a laser-like focus.
Yeah.
If it's not in his target, he ain't talking about it.
Right. Yeah, it's about, you know, the deity of Christ, and here's proof that he is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And that's what he was about, and very effective at it. What are some of the words, or the main words used here?
I wrote down the word Father. He talks about Father, his Father, I think 100-something times in John. One, there's a lot of unity. If you want a unity passage, John 17, the high priestly prayer. Love, dark, understand, those are some of the ones that stood out
believe,
to me.
52 believe, 52 times. Oh, yeah. 52 times.
Truth.
Love, 22 times. I am, 64 times. Not all of them, I'm sure, in the context of saying light, 24 times. Death 12 times, life 44 times, witness 21 times. So that's, you know, that gives a good picture of what he was trying to get across, basic truth.
You know, and one of the things that I think we're going to talk about in a second are some of the misunderstandings in the book. And one of the things that's funny in John, every time somebody misunderstands Jesus, it's because they took him literally instead of spiritually. John 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, "You must be born again." Nicodemus says, "You don't go back into mom's womb a second time."
Yeah, makes no sense.
John 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, "I'll give you living water, and you'll never thirst again." She says, "You don't have a bucket." John 5, what happens in John 5? I think it happens again. John 6 is the bread of life.
The
bread of life, and they
very,
get freaked out about eating him. You know, and it just kind of keeps on going that way throughout the book.
That's a good point. Because I'm a normal, literal guy. I'm sure you are, too.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's certain times where you need to look at it in another way.
Yeah.
Not everything is just, you know, and within normal, literal, there's parables and there's types and all those things. But sometimes we get so laser focused, just like the woman at the well, you know, we get laser focused on just on the literal.
Yeah.
Not looking at the full picture of what Jesus is trying to say.
I was going to say, it's interesting, though, to me, though, that when he says something, as anybody would say something to you, that you know that if you take it literal, it doesn't sound possible, you would think the average person would then go, there must be a deeper meaning on what this person's saying. You know, it's just a little surprising to me that they didn't just look at him and say, maybe what they actually said, but then follow it with the comment, explain further, because this what you've just said doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And of course, naturally, we don't have word for word, so maybe they did. But it is interesting that they would ask such questions and be baffled by.
Yeah, it seems what do you mean?
Yeah, how can I go back in the womb? I mean, why would somebody ask that?
Yeah.
you know, I would have seen him more likely to say, you know, a person to say, well, I can't go back in the womb, so you must mean something else. Explain that.
So I don't know what that something else is. You know?
Explain that to me. Yeah.
Well, even the disciples, I mean, they never get it.
Yeah.
Just about until he's, even when he's resurrected and walking with them, they still don't get it. You know, so it's, if we're, it has to be, I guess it has to be revealed. There's certain things that the Lord had to, had to show them that to them was just so foreign to them. You know, it was just so out of what?
Out of sorts.
They just couldn't understand it. Whereas today we look at it and we're like, what are they, idiots?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you're in it, I guess it was a little different. The living water.
Oh, yeah.
As you mentioned, that's the woman at the well. All the scriptures that point to Jesus, that's in chapter 5.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. In chapter 5, they were freaked out about that healing. And Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. They testify to you about me, and you're not listening to them.
Mm.
You thought you were reading your Bibles. You're not, because you didn't get me.
Everything points to Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, it all points to him. And he goes through that in Moses. You know, if you can't understand what Moses is saying, he spoke with me as well. You know, the bread of life. Remember, they were told they could not eat blood.
Yeah.
Right? So when Jesus says, this is my blood, you have to drink it, or whatever the wording was there.
John 6.
The bread, you have to eat my flesh. I mean, to them, it was like, are you crazy?
Well, I mean, it still sounds crazy.
Right. Right. Right.
If your preacher got up and said, drink my blood, you'd probably call the men, put them in the little white suit.
Yeah.
You know, the sleeves in the back.
And they were no different, right?
Yeah.
Because it was against the law. Made it clear they couldn't have that. And so they really, John 8, the slavery of sin.
Yes. And we've never been slaves of anyone.
Isn't that an amazing, one of the best quotes in John? You know, here they are. They've been slaves to every single nation that's walked through there, basically, in the past 700, 800 years. And we're perfect. We're fine.
You know, their ancestors walked the Nile, and they became people of the Nile.
Yeah,
definitely. And it is mind-boggling to think that they'd go, we've never enslaved anyone when they had some.
There's their entire history.
You shake your head sometimes. And we actually talked about this a little bit at our class last night at Burns. And it's just so easy for us to delude ourselves about where we have been, you know. We tend to live in denial.
Yeah, definitely. The past is always rosy and sunny.
Yeah.
And
let's get back to the good old days. And, you know, when we didn't have air conditioning or indoor plumbing, that didn't sound that good to me, actually.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm glad
life
to be here.
Was simpler then. Well, yeah, it was. And your kids died of malaria.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, you had one Bible at your house or Bibles, no way to study in any, like what we have now. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I don't deny that there's things harder now than then.
Mm.
But I would not want to have been born 1 year earlier than I was or 1 year later than I was. And I hope you feel the same way about whatever year it was for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe God put you in here at the right time. Maybe he knows what he's doing. Call me crazy.
That's it. That's it. Let's see here. Well, what is one of the hardest things? Well, we kind of went over that, I guess, with John 6. But what are some other things that are hard, you think, for people to understand in the book?
John records these long conversations with Jesus, and I think people have trouble following those sometimes. I think that's one of the things that's difficult about the book. The hardest thing Jesus said in John, I wrote that question, and I don't have a good answer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it goes back to you have to take of my flesh.
And
even though you get it and you understand that it's not literal, still, you know, what is he referring to exactly?
Yeah. And one of the things that is tough about John, and the Gospels in general, but it seems to me that it comes out more in John, Jesus makes a lot of promises to his disciples, and sometimes I think it's hard for us to figure out where we fit into those things.
Mm.
I think a mistake sometimes people make when they read and study the Bible is they see a promise in the Scripture and immediately assume it's a promise for them.
Mm.
And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. How do you know the difference?
Right. That's important.
That comes up in John a little bit, and we don't always agree completely on. Yeah, and that's fine. Particularly even in that section between John 14 and 16, where some of the promises about what the Spirit does.
Right.
There's some of those things that I see a fulfillment in the apostles and that first generation of Christians.
Right.
But I'm not entirely sure I don't see a fulfillment in you and me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not hard for me to live, but it's hard for me to interpret and apply.
Right. The Bible is, some verses are to us, but not for us.
Yeah.
And that's, it is hard.
Or for us, but not to us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, exactly. And so it's a good promise, but it's not necessarily guaranteed for us. And I think you made, that's a good point. 14 to 16 has a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, it says bring things to remembrance, teach you all things. You know, of course that happens with us.
Yeah.
But it literally happens for them, with writing the scriptures and that type of thing.
Well, you know, there's all these passages in the gospel where Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to say, it'll be given to you. And I've known some preachers who've taken that, and I've known them across religious groups. I'm not picking on anybody.
Sure.
He said, well, the Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to say, it'll be given to you.
Mm.
Well, I think that can still be true.
Right.
That's in the context of Jesus sending the apostles out on a specific mission trip.
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to be persecuted when they bring you to the court, don't worry about what you're going to say.
Right.
That's a big difference in me saying, all preachers everywhere don't ever study.
Right, because God's going to give you the message.
You know, I don't know, I disagree with that interpretation. Yeah. And I kind of wish somebody was sitting at the table who had that interpretation,
right,
so I wouldn't be talking about them, I could talk to them.
And one more thing of advice, when you go to court,
yeah,
get a lawyer. Don't think the Lord is going to give you what to say, because you might get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, they say the lawyer who represents himself has a fool for a client.
Absolutely.
So.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. How about what is the most comforting thing, or what comforts you the most in the book, Richard?
You know, it's really hard for me to describe, except to just say that what was going through my mind is really maybe not answering your question, but the idea of how when we look at all of Scripture, but particularly in this area, and see that we tend to think, you know, I would have reacted differently. Hmm. And I think it's a mistake we make often, far too often, that we look at how, you know, the Jews reacted to what Jesus had to say, or all the people that he came in contact with and what they had to say. And we tend to think, if I had been there, that's not the way I would have reacted. And
true.
The truth is that it probably is the way we would have reacted.
Right.
And so that's so much of what I take from so much of these stories is how did those people react? How would I have reacted?
Yeah.
I wish I could think of a better example of this than to tell this one, but it goes to proving to myself anyway, that I will react differently than I think I would. Have you ever sat and thought to yourself, if my house ever caught on fire, what would I do?
Mm.
We all tend to think, well, I'd jump out of bed and get completely dressed and run outside.
Yeah, get everybody else out.
And I would grab this or that, you know, and whatever. And years ago, back in the 70s, we had a relative that came to stay with us, and she decided, because it was a nice, cool evening, she left her window open and she read a book in bed.
Mm.
And a guy came up to the window and spoke to her. She screamed my name.
Mm.
I jumped from bed, ran to her aid.
Yeah.
No regard to what I might be wearing. And it made me realize 10 minutes later, it took 10 minutes for me to go,
right,
oh, I'm not dressed the way I would like to be dressed in front of my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
So, you know, it totally dispelled my myth in my own mind of how I thought I would react. So when we look at Scripture and we see these people and we go, oh, you know, those people were, what knuckleheads.
Mm.
I mean, couldn't they see what Jesus was saying? Couldn't they see what was happening and react to it in the way that they should have?
Mm.
And I look at those stories and I just go, maybe I'm the knucklehead sometimes. You know,
we have to remember we have the full painting, right? We know the whole story, just about.
Yeah.
All right. They only had a portion of it. And you go back to the Old Testament, they had a smaller portion, right? We're so blessed because we have most of the picture, except with the end time stuff, right? And we'll probably be so wrong for what we think about that, you know? So, because the Jews had a completely different idea of who the Messiah was going to be, you know, and they didn't have the full picture like we do.
I'm just so grateful that every time I've been wrong about something, God hasn't sent me 40 years in the wilderness.
Exactly. How about you, Matthew? Comforting? I know mine.
It's just hard for me to ever get past the letting our heart be troubled, trusting God, trusting in my Father's house, many rooms.
Yeah.
I love John 14.
Definitely. Mine's Peter being restored.
That's a good one.
You know, because all of us at some point in our life have been in that position where we've done something willfully ignorant or, you know, willfully wrong. And the fact that Peter could deny the Lord and still be restored with such love and compassion is a picture for us. And I need that.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I need that.
Join the club. Join the club. That's what's fun about the Gospels.
Absolutely. So, the Gospel of John, any last thoughts as we get ready to close?
My favorite book.
Yeah. It's a great Gospel to read. If you're going to read, if you're a new believer or you're a believer and you're stuck, go back and read the Gospel of John because there are so many new things in there, different things in there, that you won't be bored. It'll excite you. So definitely a great book to get you back into either to lead you to Christ or to get you back into serving the Lord.
So you're saying it's kind of a Paul Harvey deal.
Yes. Here's the rest of the story. Absolutely. Absolutely. Richard, anything?
No.
You're good?
I'm hoping I am.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. We will be back next Sunday at 4:00 with the new show. And what's next week's show, Matt?
It's lesson number 5, page 25, Before the Beginning. We're going to talk about the pre-existence of Jesus.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. Look forward to that. Thank you for tuning in to the Interfaith Roundtable. You can hear us every Sunday from 4 to 4:30. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to WDKN's Jesus Roundtable. Listen live on Sundays at 4 at WDKN 1260 AM or 101.5 The One. Or download the podcast from iTunes or JesusRoundtable.com.